Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and where have we been today? Well, through the new immigration bill's implications for workers and employers, through Betty Rollins' take on why bad things might be good for some of us, and through the United States as ancient Rome. And we'll finish up today by returning to the immigration compromise for a call-in on the question, should the United States see itself as Harvard? 212-433-WNYC, as we'll keep picking out different aspects of the massive overhaul bill all week. For this call-in, we'll focus on the proposed rules for future legal immigrants. The applicants for admission who get preference would change from the current system, based mostly on family ties, to a system much more based on merit. There would be a point system in which points would be awarded for things like education, desirable skills, English proficiency, and work history. The Harvard analogy comes from David Brooks' column in the Times today. Maybe you saw it. He is mostly a supporter of this part of the immigration bill. And he writes, in fact, he titles his column, America's Admission System. And he writes, Harvard is tough to get into. To be admitted to a school like that, students spend years earning good grades, doing community service, and working hard to demonstrate their skills. The system has its excesses, but overall, it's good for Harvard and it's good for the students beginning their climb to opportunity. He says, the United States is the Harvard of the world. Millions long to get in. Yet this country has set up an admission system that encourages, has this country set up an admission system that encourages hard work, responsibility, and competition? No. Under our current immigration system, most people get into the U.S. through criminality, nepotism, or luck. The current system, he says, does almost nothing to encourage good behavior or maximize the nation's supply of human capital. Which is why, writes David Brooks, the immigration deal reached in the Senate last week is on balance a good thing. It creates a new set of incentives for immigrants and potential immigrants. It encourages good behavior in the manner of a demanding, though overly harsh, admissions officer. It rewards the bourgeois virtues that have always been at the heart of this nation's immigrant success and goes some way to assure that the people who possess these virtues can become U.S. citizens. And he says potential immigrants would understand that the U.S. is looking for people who can be self-sufficient from the start, and they would mold themselves to demonstrate that ability. So there from David Brooks, those excerpts. And for this call-in, we want to know, do you agree? Should the United States see itself as Harvard? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And, of course, what do you think about these specific rules for future immigrants? Now, seeing us as Harvard means we think the U.S. should be tougher to get into than other countries. Should we be? And if so, why? 212-433-9692. And does seeing us as Harvard reject Emma Lazarus? This came up last hour. But, you know, give me your tired, your poor, your wretched refuse earning to breathe free, as the Lazarus poem goes at the base of the Statue of Liberty. Is that consigned to the dustbin of history with this bill? Instead of you're tired, you're poor, yearning to breathe free, is it your best and your brightest yearning to breathe rich? The wretched refuse, meaning now the unskilled laborers, would be relegated to the temporary workers program and given no path to citizenship, no path to permanent residency. Temporary means temporary, you know, is one of the foundations of this bill. Is that okay? 212-433-9692. But mostly on the legal immigrants, what we're throwing out is, on the permanent immigrants, I should say, what we're throwing out is family ties. Opponents call the new system anti-family, but spouses could come, minor children could still come, and in some cases, parents. It's really brothers and sisters who are going to get locked out compared to the present, unless they qualify on their own. But should immigrants have a right to bring brothers and sisters, regardless of qualifications or other factors? 212-433-WNYC. This is part of what this bill is revisiting from the current immigration law. So call us. What do you think of the point system? 212-433-WNYC. Why should family ties be the basis for our legal immigration? 212-433-WNYC. And should the United States be the Harvard for future of the for future immigration? 212-433-9692, or email Brian Lehrishow at WNYC.org. Manuel in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
It's the first time I really have been listening to your program, and I find it so interesting. I came to the United States at the age of 16. I'm 55 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that the family ties should be the base for approving immigration to future citizens. I consider myself to be an example of it. My mom brought me here at that age. I went to school here. I served the country with the 101st Airborne Division, Manes Criminigo. And to me, the family that I have brought in, my kids has already graduated, meaning that by bringing people by family tie is the best example, because those people are coming here to become somebody and have a better future in life.
So what the government now wants to say is, statistically, we're going to get more people if we go on a merit-based system who we know are going to contribute to the economy, who aren't going to be a drag on the economy despite their best intentions, so that certainly parents could bring their children, as in your case. But as far as brothers and sisters, that's where the change should take place. Adult brothers and sisters should have to qualify on their own. Do you disagree?
I agree with it.
You agree with that part?
I agree with that part.
Yes.
But immediate family that brings the siblings should be allowed. Because when we come here, we strive to make a better life for ourselves and for our children.
Manuel, thanks for your call. Thanks for your service to our country, by the way. And please call us again, okay? Glad you found the show.
Absolutely. I thank you.
Dallas in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment would be that if we're going to go with this admissions analogy, I'd like to point out that Harvard kicks people out for cheating, and I want to know what Mr. Brooks' opinion would be on that, because I'd certainly like to see politicians convicted of illegal activity while in office booted from the country, like Randall Duke Cunningham, I think would be a good example.
There you go. Expel Duke Cunningham. Make him an exile without a country based on the Harvard analogy. Very clever. Carlos in Patterson, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carlos.
Yes, hi. I guess I have 2 points. One is, if you applied these standards to the Brooks of the world and his ilk, they wouldn't get in. And number two, he writes a lot about family values, like a lot of these conservatives do, and yet they have no compunction about separating families when it's not theirs. So I just struck by the inconsistency, the hypocrisy.
Right.
And I think that should really be...
But again, let me go one level deeper with you on, I guess, the definition of family, because this is really, and I don't think this has been discussed so explicitly as this, but as I read the bill, this is about brothers and sisters. That's where the difference would be. And in fact, the 1965 Immigration Act had a nickname back then called the Brothers and Sisters Act, because that's what it really enabled. It enabled people to bring in their brothers and sisters so easily. And in fact, the history of that bill, as I understand it, is that Congress actually didn't realize what it was getting itself into. It thought they would preserve the status quo, the mostly European immigrant status quo, by establishing the family criteria at the top, because people who would proliferate. And yet, immigrants from Latin America and the Caribbean and Asia have been able to use the family ties provision, especially the brothers and sisters provision, much more than Congress anticipated back in the 1960s. But we revisit the fundamental question. Do you necessarily violate family values when not talking about children and not completely talking about parents who would be tougher to bring in, but you could bring in some parents, if brothers, grown brothers and sisters had to qualify on their own, is that a major violation to you of family values? Carlos, you can get, oh, I'm sorry. Carlos, you can, go ahead.
I'm not the one stressing the family values on the one hand, and on the other hand, locking the door once I'm inside and saying nobody else is allowed in. But right. To your question, I don't think if our definition of family is the nuclear family, then no. But the point is, these families that come in, and they're hardworking, and they have built communities that are in blight. And it's interesting that now that it is Latinos and Africans and Asians that are coming in, suddenly we want to have new standards so you qualify. The point is that this country has always benefited. It's a net benefit to this country for the immigrants that come in. Yes, there's some bad that comes in with the good, but the vast majority of it is good. And this is just another conservative ploy to sort of beat back those they don't want in their clubs. And, sort of an exclusive membership. Again, they wouldn't be allowed in if you use the standards if they had to apply under the same standards.
A lot of their poor ancestors. Carlos, thank you very much. Please call us again. And Alessandro in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
The point I want to make is that with this legislation, we have an opportunity, and I think that we need to pursue some kind of a middle ground between a system based on merit, which would attract talent to this country, which we definitely need, but also we need to make it so that, you know, families who have already made it into the country can pursue bringing their family members. And I'll cite myself as an example. My mother, came here, struggled to get in the country legally from the Dominican Republic, and she brought five of us. And all of us are, graduate from universities here. I'm a teacher in an elementary school. And, these are, my mom could not prove through paperwork that she had qualifications, but she had a desire to come here and play by the rules, bring her children. And now all of us are here. And I believe, most of us, all of us are making a contribution to this country. And, I think that we need to continue doing that so that families like my family can continue coming here and making a contribution to the country.
What about parents? And I get your point about the middle ground that you're seeking between family ties and merit. Parents are another whole can of worms, because people who move here as young adults, as so many people do, eventually, if they settle here, they want to bring their aging parents, which seems like kind of a normal thing. But the bill cracks down on that, makes it harder to do, though some would be able to do it, I think $40,000 a year, because elderly first-time immigrants are almost certain to need government services, and they've never paid into the Social Security system. Do you have an opinion about that?
Yes. I think that the idea that we're going to put limits on families, in a way it's even antithetical to the founding of this nation. I mean, those poor pilgrims that came, in the early 17th century, were certainly looking for freedoms, but they were certainly coming in as families. And, if we're going to put limits on, the continuity of families, I mean, I have nephews in my family. I don't have children of my own, but I have nephews in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And, my grandmother lives in the Dominican Republic. And, I think that there's an interruption of family continuity if my grandmother never gets a chance to come here and my nephews never get a chance to see their great-grandmother.
Alejandro, thanks so much.
I think that we need to, yeah.
I got to move on, but please call us again. Thank you. Kevin in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, good morning. You brought up the analogy of Harvard. Should the United States be Harvard? I think the answer is yes. But in a broader sense, what is Harvard? Harvard is not just the students. The students are part of the community, but Harvard is also the cooks. Harvard is also the medical school with Mass General Hospital, which has orderlies, people cooking the food, people cleaning the operating rooms, people restoring the roof. Harvard has security personnel. Harvard is a broad community, and if you're going to let people in on merit, the merit has to be broadly based because a roofer is as important as a PhD if your roof is leaking.
Interesting point. Thank you. Of course, they would have, and people will debate this, but they have the temporary workers program for the unskilled, and that would be, you know, the separation there. But Dee Dee in Bedford Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dee Dee.
Yes, hello. What we're seeing up here with the fact that the family ties are being such an important piece of immigration as it stands today is that there's a pressure on the families that are already here. So, for example, if the father shows up and then the cousins and the uncles and so forth, that we suddenly have housing problems. We actually have a homeless problem up here in Bedford Hills and areas like Mount Kisco. And so I see that the pressure is being on the family. Everyone wants to take care of everyone, but they're literally showing up at people's doors, flashing money, saying, can I stay here for the night? And I think that's something that
so why not build more housing?
Well, we have a lot of affordable housing up here. There isn't a lot of space. What's happening is we're getting overcrowding problems, and overcrowding can lead to lots of other issues, such as fire problems.
Yeah. Well, there's a mismatch between the skills that you may want, or a lot of residents of Bedford area may want, like lawn workers, and the people who are willing to do that work who would have a hard time commuting from the Bronx, let's say.
Well, I think that's true, but we also, I think we're getting potentially to a saturation point where we're busting at the seams with housing, overcrowding is very mm-hmm. dangerous, and I think a lot of people are being taken advantage of.
I'll give you a last word. I'll give you a last word in our last 20 seconds or so. If the U.S. sets itself up as Harvard, it's saying we have higher admission standards than other countries. Is it right for us to put ourselves on that kind of plane?
Well, I think it is to a certain extent, as you were saying, there can be a broader way of looking at that. But we have to look at the realities on the ground and the pressures that are being put on families, overcrowding. There's a lot of dangerous situations, even homeless. So how do we, I guess the point is, how do we get the labor in the right places mm-hmm. where it's actually needed and where they have homes, where they can live safely in America.
You get the last word today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please call us again. And that's it for today's show, produced by Nuala McGovern with Jim Colgan, Priya George, and Lisa Allison. That's Debbie Daughtry at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.